But this week, we get to hear from a really good friend of mine, Nate, local church planter up in San Marcos, California. And Nate and I regularly text each other, where I text him the latest Dodger All-Star signing that's taken place, and then he texts me back about how the Dodgers have just flamed out in the playoffs. And so it's really a love-hate kind of a relationship. But really grateful to have you here, and that hat is absolutely welcomed as we learn what it is to love our friends and our enemies together, right? Again, Nate, really grateful that you're here. Would you welcome Pastor Nate as he comes up on stage to bring the word?
You know, even though I don't know if I've said this already, but, you know, Vince and I have grown close to each other in, just in the last year, but I have known of him for many years. They were talking about Camp Cedar Crest. My wife and I, we used to be leaders of our youth group. We used to go up, you know, 15 years ago or so. And I remember seeing Vince up on stage talking, just so smooth, just has it going on. And then, you know, I remember I'd be like, man, I want to be like that. And then you see him off stage and just how much grace and kindness he has with people and how much people are attracted to that in him. And I'm like, Lord, I know that's you through him. I also want to be like that. So Faith Community Church, you guys have one heck of a set of pastors in Vince and Larissa. They really, you know, we want to be like Jesus, right? Right? Well, here's an obstacle to that. Jesus is invisible. So we need somebody in the physical, in the flesh, to be good models of Jesus. And that's these two right here. So, you guys, thank you so much for, like I said, I can't believe we're friends. There's a lot of things I cannot believe that are happening, things that are coming up. My name is Nate. You guys know that. This is my wife, Denise. And like Vince said, we are currently planting and pastoring Salt Church, just up the freeway in San Marcos. So lots going on there. We have two wonderful boys, Nathaniel and Enoch. They're 11 years old and 7 years old. And guess what? What? That's exactly how I feel, bro. We have another one on the way. Another boy, believe it or not, is set to be born here in the next 5 weeks. we are naming him Lazarus. I'm just going to come. Yeah, new stage. Thank God that didn't happen when it was like this high. Anyways. gosh, I'm so glad I'm with family today. and not at like some conference. we are naming him Lazarus. You know, we're beyond blessed with what everything God has done and what he is continuing to do and everything that he will do. Here's where all of this has left me. At the beginning of the year, going into this new year, I was, you know, really continuing to seek the Lord. And here's my heart's desire. Lord, everything that you have for me, my family, my church, my extended family and my friends, everything that you have for me, Jesus, I want it. I want to experience it in full. I don't want half of it. I surely don't want to miss it. I want everything. I want to fully receive and enjoy and fully be aware of everything that you have for me this year. Now, family, with this many people in the room, we all come from different backgrounds. We all are going into different things. I highly doubt everyone in here is planting a new church and having another baby boy this year. So my life is different from yours. And you know, a lot of us are coming out of different scenarios out of 2023. For some of us, it was hard. It was dreadful. For some of us, it might have been plentiful and wonderful. But wherever it is that you're coming from, and whatever it is that you're going into, I hope that you would open your heart and you would stand with me and declare, Lord, whatever it is that you have for me, I want it all. I don't want to miss anything. I want it. And usually at this time of the year, every year, new year, I like to revisit new beginnings in the Bible. And that's where we are going to look at this morning to launch us into this message, receiving and experiencing the fullness of Jesus in 2024. I want to open up real quick, you guys, to Luke chapter 4. Like I said, we're in a new year, right? It's still January. I could still say Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Faith Community. I am staying away from that. So every year at this time of the year, I like to look at new beginnings. Where Jesus began his ministry is a wonderful new beginning to look at when we're in a time such as this, where there's new things, there's old things behind us, there's new things in front of us. At this point in Jesus' life, he is 30 years old, and he is just starting his earthly ministry. Think of that. Okay, he had just come out of the water, out of the River Jordan. He was baptized by John the Baptist. He was taken to the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. He was fasting for 40 days. He comes back from that, and this is one of his first stops in the very beginning of his ministry. And it says in verse 16, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord. And as he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say that to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So before I get into, we start picking apart what Jesus just said and the context of today's message, I just want to encourage you. What he just read out of Isaiah, take it back there for me if you could. What he just read from verse 18 to 19, verses 18 and 19, that is a great proclamation to speak over yourself. And that is a great, if you find yourself that you're lacking a mission, a calling, this is great to open up and speak over yourself every single morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you know, because of everything that Jesus did. We can now say that of ourselves. Yeah. Because he has anointed me. You are anointed. To preach the gospel to the poor. That's what we're supposed to be doing. To heal the brokenhearted people. Proclaim liberty to captives. Recovery of sight to the blind. Hello. You can speak this over yourself every single day. That one's for free. Come on. Yeah. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. No matter what 2024 is going to look like, you guys, it's going to be an acceptable year of the Lord. In other translations, it said the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. Okay? So this is what Jesus is how he chooses to start his ministry. And then it says in verse 20 that he went to go sit down. He closes up the book or the scroll he probably had back in that day. He goes and sits down, and then he says one of the most interesting things. He says, "This scripture has been fulfilled today in your hearing." Isn't it interesting, family? He does not say, "This scripture will be fulfilled within the next 3 years as I continue my ministry, and at the climax of everything, at the cross, then it will be fulfilled." No, he says, "This scripture today has been fulfilled in your hearing." What does that mean for you and I sitting here today in January of 2024? That means that everything that Jesus has planned for you and ready for you does not have to wait and does not depend on some climax to happen in your life, some pinnacle or the higher echelon for you to reach in order for you to experience and enjoy. Everything that God has for you is readily available today in your hearing. Everything that he has planned for you, you don't have to. There are things to walk into. There are seasons for things. But when it comes to recovering sight of being blind, hello, Lord, I want to see again in areas that I've gone blind to. How about healing for the brokenhearted? You don't have to wait until the fall to be healed of your brokenheartedness. What about freedom from captivity, bondage? You don't have to wait. That's all available to you right now in your hearing. Now think what's happening here, you guys. This is pretty epic. Jesus, the living Word of God, opening up the scroll, reading the written word of God out loud to be the spoken word of God. You would think everyone there in attendance would be like, "Woo! Hosanna, glory in the highest," right? How would you feel if Jesus just walked through that door, took the microphone away from me, he's like, "Nate, I got this. I'm gonna read the Bible to my people." Wow. Somebody said, "Wow." Yeah. Wow. You would think that would be the appropriate reaction to such an event as Jesus stepping in and reading about himself and the Bible out loud and then giving them the good news. "Hey, you don't have to wait any longer. This has been fulfilled." You would think. But let's see how the people reacted. Let's see how the people actually reacted. In verse 21, it says, "He began to say to them, 'Today the scripture has been fulfilled to you in your hearing.'" And in verse 22, "So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." And then they said, "Hold on a minute. Isn't this Joseph's son?" Joseph who? The carpenter, dude. That regular nobody. Isn't this his son? Family, isn't it kind of sad we haven't really changed much in 2,000 years, have we? Where the Spirit of God is undoubtedly moving, no matter what, and we can miss it. It's right there in front of them. It's right there in front of us. And maybe even if it's not something that we so much miss, it's something that we dismiss. We do that, number one, to ourselves. God can't move that way in my life. Call me to do that? Wow, you know, God must be on one. We do it in locations. Oh, yeah, that's cool that that's happening over there. I don't think God could do that here. Nathaniel, the one of Jesus' first disciples, said exactly that. When Philip found Nathaniel taking a nap under a tree, Philip came and said, "Hey, come with me. I think we found the one that the prophets prophesied about, the Messiah. His name is Jesus of Nazareth." Nathaniel gets up and he's like, "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? How many times have we said that in our heart? Can anything good happen in San Diego?" I have one for you that's been said a million times, and people vote with their feet. Can anything good happen in California? Let's move away. We dismiss other people. Honey, you want to be careful of that person. Or God wouldn't give a word to that person. We know who they are. We know how they've been brought up. Or we know what they've done. We do that to ourselves all the time. We do it to others. We do it in locations. We do it to ourselves. The fact is, history shows, the Bible teaches, these things are being fulfilled today in our hearing, whether we realize it or not. And we can, if we're not careful, we can miss it. We can dismiss it. And I don't want to live that way. Where some of the biggest things that ever happened in the scriptures happened silently in the night. Do you really think it's the whole Bethlehem scenario all over again? Do you really think the manager of that hotel would have turned Mary and Joseph away if he really knew what was going to happen that night? No. Do we really think the owners of that manger wouldn't have invited them into the house if they knew what was really about to happen that night? How many times do we dismiss somebody because based on their clothes, or we just don't have time, or we just don't want to be bothered, and we could miss something that the Holy Spirit is doing just because we don't want to make room or time? I don't want to be like that. Lord, I want to fully enjoy, receive, make it mine, hug it, tackle it. I want to fully have the fulfillment of you, Jesus. Everything that you have for us in 2024, I want to be swimming in it. I want it all. Especially if we see in Scripture, it is possible to be like, to miss it. I don't want to be like that. So upon hearing this, it goes on. Jesus says in verse 23, he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever you have done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" So Jesus is reading their hearts. He had done other miracles in another town, and they're thinking like, okay, well, you're just Joseph's son. If we're really gonna believe, if we're really gonna follow you, we want to see what you've done in other places. We want to see it done here. And Jesus is like, no. In verse 24, he says, "Surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you, truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But none of them was Elijah sent to except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow." Okay, family. So here's where we're going with this. Number one, The Spirit is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. Peter. Peter solidifies that, confirms that on the day of Pentecost when he's quoting the prophet Joel. He said, hey, what's happening here? We're not all drunk in the morning. What's happening is just a fulfillment of what the prophet Joel said. In those last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon how many people? Just the people in the church? Hold on, Pastor Vince. Don't give it away yet. Oh, just to the people who I don't know. All flesh. What does all flesh mean? All flesh in all places. That means he is pouring out his Spirit. He is moving. He is speaking no matter what, whether we miss it or not. He's doing it. Number one. Number two, we see it is possible to miss or dismiss it. And number three, Jesus is telling us, hey, he's telling us how we can step into and receive and be fully aware of everything, the fullness of what he's doing. It's not a type of person. If it were a type of person, he's highlighting that there was a bunch of widows in the day of Elijah, but Elijah was sent to none of them except one. So it's not a type of person. If it were a type of person, then all those widows would have received a visitation from the prophet Elijah. It's not a type of person. It's not depending on what you have gone through. It's not depending on what you have. It's rather than a type of person or a title of a person, it's a type of heart. It's a position of the heart. And Jesus is telling this group of people, there was a lot of widows in the day of Elijah during the drought. Only one. There was not only that, what does he say specifically? There was a lot of widows in Israel. And Elijah was only sent to one, not in Israel, to a region of Sidon, to a place called Zarephath, to a person who was not an Israelite. So that means if we are to take upon God's invitation to step in and to fully be aware and fully enjoy the movement of his Holy Spirit, it doesn't depend on who we are, where we come from, what we make. It's something that goes deeper than that. And I think I already gave it away. It's an issue of the heart. So, specifically, I want to look. What did this one widow have? How was she that separated her from all the other ones? And let's go to, I think, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I don't want to just read it up on the screen. I want to read it out of here. Do you guys remember who Elijah was? He was a prophet in the Old Testament. Kind of a big deal. Okay. He's kind of a big deal. He's one of the big ones. He did a lot of, the Lord used him a lot to do many miracles, a lot of cool things. One of the highlights of his life, one of the most famous highlights of his life is Elijah never died. He was taken up to heaven. Chariots of fire came down, received him, and he was taken up. So he never died. He was one of just two people in all of the Bible to experience such an ending on this planet. One of only two people to have never died. Elijah was one of them. For you trivia heads out there, Enoch was the other one. Okay. So, 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to start in verse 8. So this is the widow. This is the widow's story that Jesus is quoting in Luke chapter 4.
It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, this is God talking to Elijah, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Okay. Clue number one. We're going to peel back the layers on this dear lady. Clue number one. This lady is able to hear from the Lord. Okay. Which is very important. If you are in here dealing with that, like, Nate, how do you hear from God? Ask his Holy Spirit. He will help you. He is our helper. Okay? Ask his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I really want to hear from God. I really want to hear from the Father this year going into 2024. If you ask him, he will give that, he will instruct you how to, okay? So this dear lady, she has received a commandment from the Lord, and as he has said in verse 9, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you, okay? So we know that she knows how to listen to the voice of God. And in verse 10, it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Okay. So nobody look at verse 12 yet. Put your hand up close. Don't look at that. Because verse 8 to 11 paints a pretty good picture, a pretty good scenario. This widow is okay, you know, she's had some things happen to her outside of her control in her life. Can any of us relate to that? Yeah. But she's got some good things going for her. She knows how to listen. She has the ability to hear from God. And not only that, but she has an obedient heart to do what the Lord has instructed her. And on top of that, in the end of verse 10 and going into 11, she has a serving heart for others. Elijah is saying, hey, could you please bring me a cup with water in it? And it says, she said, yeah, as she was going to get it. So she heard it. She said, yeah, this is the dude that God said he was going to send me. I'm going to be obedient. You know, and she's, you know, that sounds like a pretty good resume of a person that would fully know how to experience and walk in the fullness of whatever God had for them. But there's a plot twist in verse 12. She said, so imagine what's going on. She's gathering sticks. She's probably, no doubtedly, preparing for the prophet that's going to visit her. She sees him. He asks for water. She said, okay, I was expecting you. She's going. Prophet Elijah says, hey, and one more thing, as you're going to get me water, can you get me a little bit of bread? She stops, she turns around, and she says, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple sticks, not for you, Elijah, that I could go make a fire so I could make you a hot meal because the Lord was telling me that you were coming to my house. I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and we may die. What a turn of events. Can I talk about the big elephant in the room, you guys? Here's something we don't like to think about, we don't like to acknowledge. This dear lady received a commandment from the Lord, kind of like a hey, I want you to go do this. She did it. A word from God doesn't change our circumstances, not at least right away. A word of God, a word from God alone doesn't put food on our tables and fill our bellies up. That's just the elephant in the room. That's just one of the things we have to deal with in life. And I want to stop here and make a point of this because you can be just like this dear lady in the room, where you know how to listen to God. You know how to be obedient to God. You love serving others, but somehow, some way, despite all of that, you still feel like sometimes you want to curl up and you want to die. I want to let you know, you are not alone. I see you. God sees you. God is not belittling you. Hey, just be happy with what I've given you. No, you are seen, you are heard, you are understood. I get it. This lady, this widow, gets it. You know who else gets it? Elijah got it. Elijah got it. Look what Elijah tells to her, says to her. Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said." What? That doesn't sound like a very good prophet. You would think, you'd be like, no. Haven't you heard? Don't you know who I am? I'm here. God has heard you. Everything's going to be okay. And his spirit and his anointed wisdom, he knows not to dismiss it. Hey, you know, suck it up, buttercup. You know, it's like, everything's going to be okay. What do you, you know? And how many times we get like that sometimes? It's like, oh, just keep going to church. Keep praying. Everything's going to be okay. You know what? I can't remember if I told you guys this last time I came over or if I said it at Salt. You know what God put on my heart to be intentional to stop telling people? I'm still working on this, and it's intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. I'm trying to stop telling people, "Hey, stay strong. You got this." And how many times does that come out of our mouths? Say, "Hey, just because you're strong, you got this." No, because sometimes we're not strong. We don't got this. And I want to tell you, it's okay if you're not strong. It's okay if you don't got this. Because God didn't choose you based on your strength. We're actually weak, and he has proven strong on our behalf. So if you do feel like giving up, if you do feel like as much as God is using you and you can hear him and you like to serve, sometimes you feel like you just want to call it quits. Sometimes you still want to die. God, that's okay. He will be strong for you. He will lift you up where you cannot carry on. Elijah knows this. And he said, hey, first of all, don't be afraid. And second of all, go and do what you have said. Okay? I feel you. But, before you go off and do that, could you make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me? And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord of Israel, the bin of flour will not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the Lord sends rain on this earth. Okay, dear one, you know how to listen to God. You are obedient. You love serving others. I'm not blaming you for wanting to call it quits. You have no strength. You have no hope. But before you do anything any further, and you guys, this isn't a message about giving first fruits. All, you know, yes, love all that. You can't give first fruits of nothing. This lady says, "I have no bread." This wasn't like, "Hey, give me what you have left, and look what God will do to multiply." That wasn't. It had nothing to do with that. This was like, "Do you believe? Can you lean into the Spirit one last time and believe that he will make something literally out of nothing. Which, by the way, the last time I checked, God's really good at doing that. Since the very beginning. Make something come out of nothing. This isn't expanding. This is like, she said it. As sure as the Lord lives, I have no bread. I have a little bit of flour and a little bit, what was the other thing? Oil. Nothing. She could have said, no. No. I've done what is sufficient. I have listened. I have served. Now I'm going to go in and die. She could have. And you know, I wouldn't have blamed her. She'd been through a lot. She'd been through a lot. But Elijah was inviting her to go deeper. Not despite circumstances, current circumstances, despite current resources, lean in, push in. And she did. And it says, so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. She came and her household, and she and her household ate for many days. That is the heart that will fully be aware and fully get to walk in the fullness of what Jesus has for them. Not only this year, but for the rest of your lives. A heart that is, and you guys remember, it's not a heart that is strong, a heart that perseveres. No, a heart that, despite being tired and all used up, will just say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to walk. I'm going to lean into you. I'm going to do what you have said. And guys, the list is long. Those were the people that went after Jesus with everything they had. If I could just touch the little string hanging off his clothes, I'll be healed. Boom. Healed. Who touched me? What? You don't have to come to my house, Lord. Just say it, and my servant will be well. Oh, man, I haven't even seen faith like that in all of Israel. The list just goes on and on and on and on. People just willing to just like, I'm going to lean in, full in, and trust. That is who Jesus came. He came for all of us. He came for everybody. But that is the heart that will be able to fully enjoy the fullness of God's movement in this year. Real quick, I want to highlight one more character. Jesus did this with specifically, if you go with me to John chapter 4, right? Because that story here in Second and First Kings, where Elijah tells the widow, "Hey, could you give me something to drink?" It reminds me of an interaction Jesus had with another dear lady, the lady at the well in Samaria. And in verse 5, it says, when he came to the city of Samaria, which was called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, was being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. There's a lot we could get into with the story. I don't have the time this morning, but this dear lady had a lot going on in her life, and she was out drawing water in the middle of the day on purpose when no one else was around, because she wanted to avoid any contact, any socializing with anybody else in her city. And she had a lot going on. And you'll see what was going on. Then the woman said to him, "How is it you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, The well is here. All this fun stuff. And in verse 13, Jesus answered and said, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst. And Jesus said to her, okay, go, hey, go call your husband over here. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus replied, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. And that you spoke truly. See, where the widow had horrendous happenings happen to her, this lady has led a life that possibly could have been of her own doing. I don't know. I don't know the circumstances. No matter what, you wouldn't put this lady at the top of you wouldn't put her at the top of the list for someone that's ready to receive everything that Jesus had for her. Not socially, not just circumstantially. You know, it's just like there's lots of judgment going on. But Jesus didn't discount her. He didn't discredit her. He said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know, for we know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. He's going into, and so anyways, but the hour is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and the Father is speaking such to worship him. He's going into all this stuff, and the woman says, I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all these things. And look what Jesus does. And did you know what's about to happen, family? This is the first time Jesus says that he is the Messiah. And he says, I who speak to you am he. Across social boundaries, political, cultural, across as a Jewish man, he should not be speaking to any woman, and yet alone a Samaritan woman that was despised and looked down on. And he said, hey, I'm your Messiah. Because she pressed in. She was open. Yeah, I know everything that you've done. Despite all that, I am your Messiah. And the rest of her story is recorded. She goes back to her town telling everyone, look, I've found this dude that knows everything that I've ever done. I think he's the Messiah. Everyone comes out of the city with her, and they get to hear from Jesus. Here's what I want you guys to remember this morning. It's not a type of person. It is not a class of person. It is not a person with a squeaky clean past. It is an open heart that is willing to say yes and step out and step in and lean into Jesus that will get to fully experience everything that is going on. Everything that's not only going on in your life, but going on in your neighbor's life. Everything that's going on in that person's life that you want to dismiss because he doesn't look like me, talk like me, doesn't sound like me. Don't miss what God is doing in our city, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our churches. Don't dismiss what God is doing in people around us, especially ourselves. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to give sight to the blind, to bring healness to wholeness to the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to have such a year of our Lord 2024. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping for my life, what I'm desiring for my life. That's what I'm hoping you guys will carry on and push for. You guys are in a perfect place to do that with people like Pastor Vince and Larissa. That's my hope and desire for you guys. If you guys could just stand with me real quick, and I'll Dom, could you come up real fast, and we'll just close out with. It's funny when he started singing that the deer pants for the water. You know, that song's been on my heart for the last couple weeks, and I almost sang it at our last salt service a cappella, and I chickened out. But that song that we're about that we already sang, but we're going to close out with, that was a song from I believe it was David. And he's saying, as thirsty as much as a deer out in the middle of a meadow is so thirsty that she's just going for that water. That's how I thirst after you, Lord. Where nothing else is gonna stop me. I can't think of anything else. I need water. That is how my soul thirsts after you. And so let's just close with that. We need you, Lord.
As the deep panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. As you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship.
After you, Holy Spirit, come upon us in a fresh way. Anoint us as how you were and are anointed Jesus to proclaim goodness and liberty to all those around us. And as we're proclaiming those things to others, let us know that we have them for ourselves. We have recovered sight. We have healing for our broken hearts. We are set free. You have set us free, O Lord. Father, set the stage, set the table for the wonderful thing that you have planned for all of San Diego County. Bring us to the table with open hearts and ready to dig into the things that you have planned for this wonderful state of California. Let us open ourselves up to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to the people that live down the street. Let us not miss or dismiss what your Holy Spirit is already doing and what you will continue to do for this generation and the next. We love you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Give us strength where we don't have it. Give us hope where we don't have it. Let us have peace every night when we sleep where we don't have it. All of this. Let 2024 be one of the closest years we've ever had with you in our relationship. In Jesus' name.